This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is The Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. I am alone in studio this evening. My co-host, Dr. Wesley Francis, is hosting the Caribbean show, so he'll be busy with that for the next few days. So we have some of the most illustrious surgeons throughout the Caribbean actually in town until Sunday. We have a lot to speak about today. This is actually Men's Health Awareness Month. June is Men's Health Awareness Month. So today we're talking everything regarding men's health. We're talking physical, we're talking emotional, we're talking psychological. It's a lot to get through, and we're going to try to be comprehensive. Please feel free to call in with whatever questions you have regarding men's health. Obviously, everybody has a man in their life that they love, a boy or a teenager in their life that they love, and they want to see them live the best life for as long as possible, the best quality of years on this earth. So whether you're a female who's a grandmother, a mother, an aunt, a niece, a daughter, whatever we're speaking about is going to obviously pertain to someone that you love or someone that's close to you. So we are at a crossroads in our nation. We're in crisis on so many levels. We're talking about health crisis, obviously, with the overwhelming number of men and women and children with non-communicable diseases. We have an overwhelming number of persons, men and women, with issues of being overweight and obese. Diabetes, 1 in 7 adults in this country are either diabetic or pre-diabetic. As many as 1 in 4 children under the age of 12 are obese or overweight in our society. And as logic will dictate, overweight and obese children are going to be almost certainly obese and overweight, obviously lead to obese and overweight adults. So we need to start from early. So there's never too early a time for us to take our health seriously. And that includes even from newborns, where we have to look at what calorie intake we're giving them. We're going to obviously promote breastfeeding, and then when you do go to formula, we need to make sure that we're giving you the correct volume of formula and the correct calorie intake, because we can start by doing everything wrong from being a newborn and a baby, and we're going to create obese children. So every weekend, it seems, we're talking in the news, in the media, we're hearing about murders. 3 murders, 4 murders, 2 drive-by shootings, attempted murder. This good man died leaving his wife, his children. Where is it ever going to end, and is it ever going to end? And the solution is not a simple one. Obviously, the police are overwhelmed. The court system is inadequate. It's failing all of us. It's failing society. It looks like the criminals have more rights than the good citizens of our society. It's like we're the ones living behind bars, living in our homes with behind chain link fences, where even criminals that are caught in the act, caught with stolen goods, caught with ammunition and with guns, eventually they're just going to get bail. And for most of Bahamians, they don't have any savings in their bank accounts. Imagine these criminals who, how do they pay for their lawyers? How do they pay for their bail? Many times, and that's might be controversial to say, but that's the reality. They pay for the best lawyers out there by creating crimes so that they can get off from crimes they've already committed. So we need to look seriously at our judicial system. We need to look at the policing. We need to, if it requires doing saturation policing, immigration is overwhelming us. If you speak to primary school teachers in the public system, they're overwhelmed with children who can't speak English or who are here illegally with the illegal parents. And that's unduly putting a burden on our education system. How can a teacher teach a grade 3 class when they have 40, 45 students in the class and half of them cannot speak English? It's a disaster happening before our eyes, and it just continues to get worse and worse. But we have to look as a nation not just at promoting preventative medicine and care for the physical, but we can't ignore the emotional or the psychological or the mental well-being, particularly of men, teenagers, and young boys, because that'll eventually be the undoing of a generation of young men. I mean, when we look at it for a baby, tears or crying is a form of expressing the need for help or expressing unhappiness or want. And in many societies throughout the world, for boys and young men in the Bahamas, cries for help are rarely tears, but they take the form of abrasive behaviors, acts of violence, criminal acts, delinquency, drug abuse, and that includes marijuana abuse, and in the worst case, suicide or murder. So there are hundreds of men who are on the brink where they may not have overt suicidal ideations, although suicide is on the rise and it's unacceptable, just as the murder rate is on the rise and that's unacceptable. But many men in this society live their life as if there is no tomorrow. They do not care if they live or they die. They'll live their life by the gun, and they'll die by the gun. There's too much in the way of a gang mentality. There's too much in the way of an acceptance, even amongst families, amongst neighbors, amongst church members, of waywardness, of delinquency, of crime itself. If you have a child or you have a grandchild and you see that he has no job whatsoever and he's bringing into your home that he shares with you goods that are obviously obtained by illegal means, he's putting you at risk. He's putting his life at risk. He's putting his future at risk. And you got to speak up. We're going silent for far too long. There are hundreds, even thousands of boys, teenagers and men in our Bahamas who have negatively changed the path of their lives in just an instant. An instant can be dictated by bottled up, suppressed years of anger and frustration. And that may take the form of striking your girlfriend or your spouse and ruining your marriage and your home life. Or stabbing someone in a moment of anger that you wish you could take back and you just never can. Committing armed robbery in a moment of desperation where you see no hope or no future and the consequences mean nothing to you. Or you know that there are no consequences and the chances that you're caught are small. You're going to be out on bail, and if that trial ever occurs, rarely you're going to get convicted. Bahamian communities are looking for safer places for their boys and men to express and release their emotions. And far too often, there's a lack of support groups in our society. And that there's a glaring lack of that. There are not enough positive outlets for men in our society. So violence breeds violence. Disrespect breeds disrespect. Murder, dead bodies, violent shootings, armed robberies, rapes, are becoming a daily reality for all of us. It was once where if you thought if you lock yourself up when the sun goes down, you may have some amount of peace and tranquility and feel that safeness within your home. That's a thing of the past, where the criminals are becoming as brazen as ever. They might shoot at you with your child in your arm and across from a church or a police station. Obviously, you can't go to an ATM even on a Sunday in the daylight on a Father's Day. There's no safe place in our society. And is it because we're not raising our children correctly? That's a part of the issue. Immigration is also an issue where even if as a Bahamian society we raise the best male citizens possible, if we're going to let in thousands and thousands of illegals, and they're going to lead to a gang mentality, and we're overwhelmed with Haitian gangs or Haitian Bahamian gangs and lawlessness, etc. Problem has to be addressed. The crime problem has to be addressed. Hopelessness has to be addressed. The lack of education for young boys in the society and the importance of education for young boys in the society, I almost speak about that every week, that needs to be addressed. We are in a nation of crisis, and everywhere we look, there is a crisis. Men, teenagers, and boys in this country are lacking so many things. But the most important thing that no one really likes to talk about is a safe emotional space where they can be seen and heard without judgment, where we can have mentors, we can have role models. We don't have enough of those. Where you can reach out to someone to support you, to push you forward, to be a guiding light in darkness. We always go through, anyone, whether it's a male or a female, there are always going to be times of darkness. And we, a lot of us might reach out to God, might reach out to church, might reach out to your parents or your siblings or your friends. But for far too many young men in this society, they reach out to gangs. And that negativity just breeds further negativity. We need to reach out to our young boys, and we need to change their internal world to a positive one so that their external world will be shaped by them instead of their external world shaping them, and in many times negatively. Every day in the Bahamas, we have boys, male teenagers, and men dealing with trauma, dealing with anxiety, mental issues, and stress, and if unchecked, can lead to consequences such as I mentioned, physical violence, depression, substance abuse, self-harm, and suicide. And self-harm includes living, seeking solace in the bottom of a bottle, abusing drugs, and that includes prescription drugs, living your life with one crime spree to the next and not worrying about the consequences. So there's a wall of toxicity that stands between men and their mental health. Very few men actually seek help for their mental trauma or their emotional trauma. The problem is the building of this wall begins when we are young boys. Little boys sit at the kitchen table, I'll give an analogy, and when they're gifted with their quote-unquote man box, they tear off the wrapping paper, they open the lid, and they look inside. So inside the man box, we first find all the emotions that society has deemed appropriate for that male image. Inside, we have emotions like happiness, anger, and excitement. Missing, however, are emotions like fear, vulnerability, sadness. And these emotions are missing because our society has deemed them emotions that are too feminine and therefore weak. So we're not supposed to express them. So young men, young boys internalize these feelings until it just rages in an instant. So this man box comes with several ready-made tools like, you got to man up. You just got to suck it up. Real men don't cry or express their emotions or sadness. And then further driving home this point for the male image is that weakness and vulnerability are never welcome in our society. It is because of this fear of being deemed weak or a sissy that far too many boys and young men and teenagers never address deep-seated trauma, emotional upheaval, and anger. If they grow up as a six-year-old seeing their father beat their mother, abuse their mother emotionally, physically, chances are they're going to have a lot of anger. They're going to have a lot of issues having a successful relationship with a woman in their life, in their future. They're going to be more likely to be abusive. They're more likely to never seek help in the future and be violent even to male counterparts. So it is because of these beliefs and others that men are afraid to ask for help, and they may seek comfort and solve it in joining a gang. And there are far too many gangs in our society. Even going into the primary schools, there are gangs. And the pressure to join these gangs can be overwhelming. A lot of young men, whether they're 10 years old, 11 years old, or 12 years old, they smoke marijuana every single day, or they're drinking alcohol every other day. And that's their way of coping. So as men in this society, we cannot continue to ignore what is not seen. The interior world of boys, teenagers, and men in our society, made up of thoughts, our emotions, and our feelings. So basically, what is unseen in the males in our country is often more important or just as important than what is seen. Our society has continued to train boys and men not to cry, not to call up for help. Men are challenged to just basically soldier throughout life, to avoid the concern for their inner well-being. So men in our society are overwhelmed with thoughts of depression, debt, devastation, being deadbeat, despair. This is a Bahamian male mental health struggle, and it is an absolute crisis. And it's an unsustainable one. The unsustainability of the Bahamian male trauma, the Bahamian male rage, the Bahamian male resentment is a real thing that's never discussed enough openly, with enough solutions being brought forward. So our environment does not define you. You may not be born, you may have been born into poverty. You may live the daily struggle of poverty, but poverty does not need to define your destiny. Hard work builds character. Self-determination, an impeccable work ethic can allow you to rise above the most difficult of circumstances. There are so many young men that came from nothing and are very well respected and successful members of our society. And many of them had a role model. So always look out for some positivity. It's very difficult to do it on your own. Poverty is a social economic condition that is more than just a lack of money. It is also about being marginalized. It's also about feeling excluded. And it's also about economic indicators. So just because you were born into the ghetto doesn't mean you have to live your life with a ghetto mentality. You can always let the difficulty of your circumstances empower you and cause you to rise above, and always rise above your station by reach for the stars. So even if you fail to reach the stars, you're always going to end up in the sky. So nothing in life is worth anything unless you take risks. Don't be afraid to take risks. Don't be afraid to dream big. For many young men, the way out of your circumstances is to have education as a premium importance in your life. Education can get you anywhere. Education is a key to success. It can let you see the world. It can allow you to have a tertiary education, a college university education, a graduate degree education, free of cost, just by persevering and sacrificing and studying instead of being slack and not making any sacrifices in terms of trying to study for a better tomorrow. So wake up every single day thinking about how can I change my life for the better? How can I improve the life of my family? Far too many young boys see their mothers struggling, and just use that to motivate you. You don't want your mother still struggling when she's 55 years old, when she's 65 years old. Make a better life for her through education for yourself. Make a better life for your siblings. Be a guiding light for your younger siblings. So always ask yourself, how can I improve the life of my family? How can I improve the life of my Bahamas? And you have to love the Bahamas. You're not going to go and shoot up a neighborhood if you love the Bahamas. You're not going to shoot up a house if you love yourself and if you love your fellow man. You need to make the decision that you will not be ordinary, that you will be great, that you have a everlasting potential, and as long as you have a heartbeat, as long as you have air in your lungs, change the world, to change our beautiful archipelago of the Bahamas, and to change your life for the better. Through all the chaos and all the pain that many young men, and it goes not just in the inner city, it goes through even in the best of neighborhoods, God is building a warrior in you that can allow you to overcome the most trying of circumstances. So never give up hope. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, don't give up on God and don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your country. So this small nation is at a crossroad. Health of the nation is always the wealth of the nation, and that includes the emotional, psychological, and mental well-being of our young men. And as I said, we're talking about men, young boys, and teenagers, because this is June, which is Men's Health Awareness Month. Health will not matter much if corruption and if crime and if violence are destroying our beautiful Bahamas. So the toll of crime and violence in our healthcare system is profound and devastating. I was at PMH for 20-something years. I can just see the cost in terms of economics of gunshots, of stabbings, of physical assaults, of car accidents on our society. Our operating lists overwhelmed with trauma and emergencies, where breast cancer cases are just not done, where we don't have enough lists to do routine surveillance colonoscopies, where we don't have enough funding to do sufficient mammograms, where routine screening for many cancers is difficult because a lack of staff, equipment, a lack of infrastructure, a lack of supplies. And that's because so much that is dedicated in terms of economics, in terms of staffing, goes to violence, dealing with the violence, the daily onslaught of violence on our healthcare system. And no one speaks enough about that. What is the toll on our society when we can't even deal with routine health matters because of violence and crime? So we'll talk more about this, and we're going to talk about what a lot of men wanted to hear, and that's how are we going to rise again. Let's get your erections back on track on the other end of the break. This is Urologist Speaks.
Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you and three others on a 7-day cruise to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part, no visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. One, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Four, or make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun, and feel that ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Drawing is on July 4, 2025. Brought to you by the Nassau Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into what?
Saturday, you see her arm is all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them children, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. This is Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. We're talking about Men's Health Awareness Month, which is the month of June. We're talking everything regarding men's health. We were just talking a little bit about the toll of crime in our society, violence. We're talking about the emotional, psychological, and mental well-being of teenagers in our society. Let's turn the tide and talk about something with a positive spin. The most important thing to Bahamian men is their male member. And for it to function as long as possible, with as great as possible, that's the dream of every man. And that goes hand in hand with good health. So looking at the function of a man and his erectile function goes hand in hand with making sure that you're and then having a normal body mass index, making sure that you can avoid diabetes, or if you do have diabetes, it's well controlled. That if you do have hypertension, that you have it diagnosed early and you deal with it and you take your medication. If you have a sleep apnea, that we manage it and successfully get you on the path to a healthier you. We have a call coming in. Good evening, this is Urologist Speaks.
Good job on your, whatever they call it, speech at the beginning. That same speech that you did at the beginning, that should be documented in a voice from your voice and taken to the primary schools, because the amount of material you put in that just a while ago, that is something that should be put on a wall for every young man to see. Every time they should be made to look at that, because that speech, I don't know where you got it from, your heart or someone right up to you, but guess what? Don't let it just pass like that. Put that as a voice note to all over the place, because just what you said, we as a family have seen that young men, age 17, they drinking, they just to make it in life, the marijuana, the rum, everything. And good thing they have some misery from those vices, but somehow they're so young, they're doing it at a young age. So therefore, please, don't let a speech go just like that. No, that was too powerful. So well, please, put it out there, please, okay?
I appreciate your kind words. And yes, it did come from the heart. I see that we're a nation in crisis, but as a proud Bahamian who loves his country deeply and cannot just stand by idly and see one crisis after the other unfold and try and do nothing. So that's what I'm doing here. That's my part, my community service, trying to reach out to somebody, even if I can positively impact one life and they positively impact another life, then we can have as many lights in the darkness as possible, and hopefully we can turn the tide and this generation is not going to be lost. You can never give up hope. You can never give up hope. So thank you very much.
Thing,
yes.
Sorry, and a good job. And the last thing I want to say, the nurses at the clinics, they're doing a wonderful job, but they must be aware of the blood pressure because a lot of people go to the clinics and their blood pressure get tested. And the blood pressure is supposed to be, correct me, 180 over what, 20? What, 180 over 60?
Well, actually, the guidelines have changed drastically. You try for a maximum you want for your systolic to be is 130. So we're looking for really 110 over 80 or 110 over 70 or 120 over 70. But anything over 130 systolic is concerning. And
so what's going on? Sorry, what's going on instead?
So, when somebody has 180, that is very dangerous and that has to be addressed urgently.
What's happening is that because people are so happy being chubby, they sometimes their pressure is kind of high, and the nurses, because they are probably press the heart to deal with each blood, they should tell them, look here, go and try to get that pressure down. Some people, not, if your pressure is too high, that causes a lot of problems.
Very much so. So that even starts up the topic, what I want to discuss, the subtalk of erectile dysfunction. One of the main causes of erectile dysfunction in society is actually uncontrolled hypertension. And unfortunately, because we're a nation primarily of African ancestry, we have almost a genetic predisposition to get hypertension, even at a younger age. So they call it the silent killer for a reason, and it's silently going to rob many men of their erections. Even you'll see it in their 20s and their 30s. Some young men are struck with essential hypertension very young, relatively young, 28-year-olds who are on dialysis because they didn't know they had hypertension. And it's not just the nurses, first of all, I'll say, are the cornerstone of our healthcare system, and the healthcare system is the cornerstone of our society. So I'll always herald our heroes, our angels of our society. The nurses are there. The police, obviously, the defense force officers, the immigration, the customs, everybody in uniform that aren't paid enough, don't have sufficient benefits, not paid enough in terms of their overtime. I'm always going to salute them, and God is going to provide for them in the afterlife for all they've done for all of us. But teachers are also unsung heroes who do so much for our society, and of course they're very poorly paid as well. So yes, nurses run the healthcare system, but it's not just picking up high blood pressure. It's the mentality of far too many men and women in our society who do not accept it. The first thing they'll say is, don't put that on me. I take my pressure at home when I first wake up, and it's nothing like that, so I'm going to believe the one I want to believe. And studies have shown many of these home blood pressure manometers are very unreliable. They can be having the blood pressure, systolic and diastolic, underestimating it by as much as 10 or 15 millimeters of mercury, which is significant. So if you're going to accept any blood pressure reading, it's going to be the one in your clinic, it's going to be the one in your doctor's office. And when you do have high blood pressure, particularly when it's not just borderline, when it's sky high, please take your medication. And if you do take the medication and it has side effects, it's possible. Some medications will make you cough. Some medications can negatively impact your erections. Some medications can give you blurred vision or headaches. So the answer to that is not to stop the medication and then to continue to live in ignorance that blood pressure is slowly killing you, and for men, killing your erections. Let that be the motivation to take your medication. You go to your physician, you explain the side effects, and they'll put you on a different class of medication that will get your blood pressure well controlled.
Or I must interject, if they change their lifestyle,
correct?
They have to exercise, they have to eat properly, and they can be off the medication. The medication is not a solution for everything because some of those medications are dangerous.
Very much so. Very much so.
The clinic area, they must be told, hey, look at your pressure too high. Go do something about it. And then if they refuse to, then put them on the medication because the medication, some of them will be on there for life.
Yes.
It's been a blessing to you. All the best to you.
I appreciate your call. So yes, you said some wonderful things and they're all very true. So yes, we have a very unhealthy lifestyle. We have a very sedentary lifestyle. We don't walk anywhere. That's just because the city is built. We don't have enough safe sidewalks because of crime and violence. A lot of persons are even afraid to walk down the block. Even if you want to wake up in the morning and you have that motivation to walk, for example, in R.M. Bailey Park, 5 o'clock in the morning, there are too many incidences of persons being held up at gunpoint or at knife point. So we are being controlled by crime, and we are being controlled by society, and it's affecting our health. It's affecting our mental health, our emotional health, and our physical health. So yes, losing weight's going to help. Eating healthier is going to help. Putting down that fast food and actually cooking a healthy meal is gonna help. Exercising, whatever way that is that you're going to stick with in groups, I always encourage that, is going to also help. But if someone has essential hypertension and their blood pressure is sky high, cutting out the salt in your diet, exercising, losing 10 pounds is going to help. But sometimes you need to be on medication. Maybe you might not have to be on 3 medications. Maybe you can be on 1, or maybe you can be on 2, or maybe we can lower the dose. And eventually, maybe we can get you off the medication, but that's not for you as an individual to make that decision. That's why you need to have a rapport with your physician. You need to have an understanding and a confidence in your physician, and you want to know that they want the best for you and that they have the knowledge and the skill to get you the best quality life on this earth. There are far too many men on dialysis in this society. What is the number one cause of men being on dialysis? It's a silent killer, hypertension, coupled with uncontrolled diabetes. So please don't have an early heart attack, don't have an early stroke because of malignant hypertension or the silent killer of hypertension. And the first thing it's going to kill, including having high cholesterol or early onset of coronary artery disease, for young men and middle-aged men and older men, it's going to be your erections. I've said that many times, that there's a strong correlation between your cardiovascular health and your erections, because just in terms of common sense, if you're going to have obstruction with plaques, with plaque deposits, with atherosclerosis, it's going to affect your smaller blood vessels many, many years before it affects your larger blood vessels, such as your coronary arteries that supply your heart, or your carotids or your vertebral arteries that supply your brain. Sorry. So addressing erectile dysfunction when you're 48 years old, when you're 57 years old, may actually prevent you from having a heart attack or stroke 8 years down the road, 10 years down the road, because we can identify the root cause of your erectile dysfunction. And that's what I always try to hammer home on this show and in my practice. And anything, you treat the root cause. So if your erections are failing you, and for many men, it's going to cause them such anguish, such disappointment. It's going to negatively impact them as an individual. They're going to lose their confidence. They're going to be a shell of their former self. It's going to affect their relationships. It's going to affect them professionally. It's going to affect their friendships because they're withdrawn. They're depressed. They feel less than. They're less than a man. They feel defeated. And unfortunately, every man is going to have an episode of erectile dysfunction at some point. And is that the next sexual encounter, that man is going to be overthinking things. They don't want to just relax and enjoy the moment. They're going to overthink things. And that in itself can be self-defeating. Because if you're overthinking and all you're thinking and obsessed with is not enjoying the moment, but concerned that your erection is going to fail again, and your partner is going to feel that you have a sweetheart and you don't, your partner is going to feel that you don't find her attractive and that has nothing to do with it, you're going to feel like less a man because you feel like you're disappointing your partner. You feel like you're disappointing yourself, because for a lot of Bahamian men, their ego is wrapped and intertwined with their ability to get an erection and maintain an erection. So if that's failing, they're going to feel like less than and a weaker version of themselves. That in itself can lead to psychological issues. So when you need to get an erection, you need to look at several things. First of all, the better your health, the better chance you're going to have a good erection, even going up into your 80s. But you need to have a nerve supply to your male member. You need to have a proper blood supply to your male member. You look at the hormonal issues. You need to look at, do you have a normal testosterone level? You have to look at the emotional, the psychological, the mental. That also can have a profound effect. So for many men, if one of those four is awry or lacking, or there's a trouble with one of them, it can affect the other ones, even if the other ones are perfect. And that includes even if physically everything is running smoothly and the engine is perfect. If mentally or emotionally there's a problem, you're not going to be able to perform. If all there is turmoil in your relationship, you're not going to be able to perform. If all you're hearing from your spouse is that you're a loser and that you don't bring enough food home, we don't go to restaurants enough, why is it my best friend has this diamond ring and this chain and this everything else, and the materialism of his society is bringing it down and ruining far too many relationships, but a negative toll as well. So when we're looking at erections, and how do we define what erectile dysfunction is? First of all, the most common form of erectile dysfunction is actually premature ejaculation. And that's rarely, particularly for black men, it's rarely addressed because men are afraid to seek help for erectile dysfunction in any form, but particularly for premature ejaculation. So if 33% of our population has some form of premature ejaculation, whether it's sporadic or whether it's chronic, so from the first time you were sexually active, it's happened and it's continued to happen for years versus it happens now and then, urologists can seek a solution for you and get you, and this may sound corny, you can go from a minute man to a marathon man. So never give up hope. We can always get you to rise again. No matter what the circumstances, even if you have a poor blood supply, even if you have a poor nerve supply, even if you've had surgery that disrupted the nerves or completely removed the nerves, there are ways, whether it's first-line therapy, second-line therapy, third-line therapy, or ultimately fourth-line therapy, that can get you to rise again. And you can always rise again no matter what. Never give up hope. You can always rise again like a phoenix from the ashes. So how do we define erectile dysfunction? First of all, we're going to ask, are you able to achieve an erection adequate for penetration? So a lot of men, and I'll talk about this in a minute, are able to get an erection, but they're not able to maintain an erection. And a lot of that has to do with what we call venous leak, which I'll talk about the physiology of venous leak in 2 seconds. The next question is, are you able to maintain that erection until orgasm? So that's either a yes or no answer. There's no in between. So if either one of those are along with premature ejaculation, where either you are not satisfied in terms of how long you're lasting, or your partner is not satisfied in terms of how long you're lasting, that is by definition premature ejaculation. So when we look at it deeper, if a man lasts 45 seconds and they're happy with that 45 seconds, that really is not premature ejaculation because they are satisfied. If a man lasts 25 minutes and they're not happy with that 25 minutes, that by definition is premature ejaculation. We can argue that he's being greedy and to want to go an hour, but by definition, if he's not satisfied or if his partner's not satisfied for how long they last, that is by definition premature ejaculation. And that also can easily be addressed. There's no need for you to live 50 years of sexual life on this earth and you only last 45 seconds. And as you get older, you're going to have a longer refractory period. So even if you only last a minute and you're in your 20s, you might be able to 10 minutes later go another time, or even another time after that 10 minutes later. But when you're in your 50s and your 60s and your 70s, you may not be able to go again for 3 hours. You may not need to be able to go again until the next day. So you can imagine that frustration waiting for that refractory period to be over. And then again, it's over before it starts. So don't live like that. Don't live disappointed. Our life is too short. Live life to the utmost. So just when an episode of erectile dysfunction happens, you need to seek help because it can save your life. It might be an early sign of coronary artery disease, and we can reverse that trend with behavioral modifications, with determining what the root cause is, addressing the root cause. But etiologies, there's so many different causes of erectile dysfunction. The answer is never for you to ignore it and suffer needlessly and in silence because of shame or embarrassment. Every urologist has heard it all. They've seen it all. They're not going to have their expression on their face change one little iota by whatever story you have of lasting 15 seconds or not being able to get an erection for 10 years. Or as a physician, as a urologist, it would warm my heart and make my day, if not my week, if I were to be able to get your erections back on track and you haven't seen it in 15 years and you've given up on that part of your life. Or if I was able to allow you to go 15 minutes, 18 minutes, when for the last 15 years, you were going less than 90 seconds. So please, let's come together and let's find a solution so you can have a more productive and a more enjoyable sexual existence and stop living in silence, because every man goes through the problem. Many of your friends, if you speak in groups when you're playing dominoes or you're out at the bar or up on the golf course, a lot of what you're dealing with in terms of not being as reliable as you would like to be or your erections failing you, probably your best friend, your cousin, your uncle, they're also going through the same thing, or they went through the same thing, and maybe they had a success story where a physician, a urologist, an internist was able to diagnose whatever the root cause was, find a solution, and got them to have a healthier them. And that will allow them to have erections for longer periods in their life, maybe until the day they die, a fruitful age of 90 years old, with erections all the way until their late 80s and 90, versus why did die at 55 of a heart attack? Why did Jason drop dead at work from a stroke? And many times it's because of hypertension, because of diabetes, because of obstructive sleep apnea, because of obesity, because of undiagnosed coronary artery disease. If we can determine what early signs of any of these disorders by someone coming in because of erectile dysfunction, not only would that be a motivation for you to get your erections back on track as soon as possible, then we can prevent you from possibly having problems that even if a blue pill, a Viagra, Levitra, Cialis can get you back on track. Or never, first of all, take medication from your friend or your colleague, because you never know what medications that you may be on can possibly have side effects or interact with the medication that you might be borrowing from somebody else. Never buy your erectile pills from the gas station, because I'll always say, the gas station attendant is not your physician. You're only masking the problem. So yes, you can take a Chinese lozenge at your risk because you don't know the untold possible side effects of taking that medication. Many of those medications are made very cheaply, inexpensively. They have paint chips in it. They have sawdust in it because they manufacture it en masse for as cheap as possible to get as much profit as possible. Marketed as supplements that require them not to have to go through any human trials, that don't require them to have to go through FDA approval. So whatever untold harm it can happen with taking those medications, you take at your own risk. You're at your own peril. And that's not solving the problem. That's not true. Looking at what is the root cause of erectile dysfunction. So yeah, a Chinese lozenge may have part of the active ingredient of, say, a Viagra or a Cialis, but all you're doing is treating the symptom. Eventually, let's say, for example, hypertension is the root cause. Uncontrolled blood pressure is the cause of your problem, and it's silently killing you inside and killing your erections. Eventually, the irreversible damage of the high blood pressure on your nerve supply to your male member, on the blood supply to your male member, is going to become so overwhelming that even the blue pill, much less the Chinese lozenge, which you should not be taking, is going to become less and less effective and eventually ineffective. And by that time, It might be 2 years down the road. It might be 6 years down the road. It might be 3 months down the road. You've already done irreversible damage to your male member, irreversible damage to your heart, to your eyes, to your kidneys, to your liver, to your vasculature in general. So use that as a motivation to please seek help. No one should have to deal with erectile dysfunction. If it happens once off, maybe you were stressed. Maybe you drank too much that night. Maybe you had too much on your mind. Maybe you were having an argument with your girlfriend and you just weren't able to perform because you weren't dealing with that anger that you had for her or the emotional turmoil of that moment. But if it happens again and happens again, please seek help. Even if it's emotional counseling, even if it's marital counseling, even if it's grief counseling, let's find the cause and let's provide a solution. So there are numerous medications available for erectile dysfunction, but there are also a lot of medications out there that are commonly prescribed for many disorders in our society that unfortunately can have a negative impact on your erections. And those include many, particularly the class of beta blockers, anti-androgens, anti-psychotics, anti-hypertensives, other classes as well. Even medications that I will prescribe as a urologist, dutasteride, Avodart, finasteride, which is also marketed as Proscar. That can negatively impact your sexual drive or also negatively impact the ability to achieve and maintain an erection. That is prescribed to help with your lower urinary tract symptoms, with you being able to empty your bladder and have a stronger flow and pee less frequently or urgently at night. So anytime a physician gives you a medication, they should automatically tell you the potential side effects. And if they don't, you need to ask. You always have to be mindful of every medication you're taking. You can't go to your physician for the first time and say, well, I'm taking a orange round pill. I'm taking a yellow long pill. That helps nobody. You need to know which medication specifically you're taking. You need to know which doses you're taking. You need to know why you're taking them. And you should know when you started taking them. And even if that means you writing that down and you taking a picture of that, including the doses of those medications, with your on your phone and keeping that on in your photos, that means even if you're in a car accident and you're rushed to the emergency room, you have that information readily available to provide to the physician who's seeing you. And that could be all important. You can never underestimate the psychogenic erectile dysfunction, which usually affects younger men. So it's an organic cause causing men in their 18, 19 year age group or early 20s or even late 20s to have an organic physical cause for you having erectile dysfunction. There's also a topic that's not spoken enough about, and that is particularly for younger men, and that is porn-induced erectile dysfunction. So pornography is so readily available in our society in this modern age where even at a young age, the brain itself can be rewired in terms of its sensory network, in terms of its arousal center, so that for many young men who use pornography to excess or daily, it's difficult for them to achieve or even maintain an erection when they do get into a relationship and they are trying to be sexually intimate with another, with a female. So that can also be a problem. A lot of men who have their erections failing, maybe you need to look at the possibility it might be of all ages pornography-induced erectile dysfunction. So just taking a Cialis, taking a Viagra may help and may give you confidence back, but we always need to treat the root cause. Viagra and Cialis are basically the same class of drugs. They're phosphodiesterase inhibitors, but they act a little differently. Some men swear by Viagra, some men swear by Cialis, although for most men, they work just as well if they try one and the other. But What you have to be mindful of, and a lot of men don't realize it, is Viagra needs to be taken on an empty stomach for it to be fully effective. That means that you need to take it 3 to 4 hours after you've eaten, and you have to wait an hour after you've taken the medication. For you to have gone out, had 3 beers, had a steak, had 2 potatoes, had a dessert, and then go take a Viagra, you're having minimal impact from that Viagra because the Viagra is competing with your food that you're trying to digest and turn to absorb into your system, and it's just not going to work. Cialis is not as important in terms of if you take it with food or not, so that's one of the advantages of Cialis. Cialis also comes in the form of a daily form where it's 5 milligrams once a day, which has the benefit that it allows you to be more spontaneous. So you just take it every day. Don't have the misconception that it makes you walking around with an erection all the time. What it does is these drugs enhance an erection that you've already gotten. So that means you have to have an erection first, whether it's through visual or physical or auditory stimulation, and then it enhances erection. So it gives you back that confidence. So even if you have a 4 out of 10 erection, it should get you to that 8 or 9 out of 10 erection right away. And that helps you get your confidence back because you don't have to overthink things as well. It's not addictive. If you're taking it because of emotional or psychological reasons where your confidence is gone, we can actually wean you off it, and it's not addictive in the least bit. But we need to look at what these medications do to understand it. So erections are induced by, obviously, the nervous system after visual or tactile or any sensory stimulation. So the nerves actually stimulate something called NO, which is nitric oxide, which then goes into the penile endothelium. And as the nitric oxide levels increase, it releases a compound called CRP, then causes intracellular calcium levels to fall. What is the consequence of that? That causes dilatation of the sinusoids in the penis, which increases the blood vessel diameter and leads to pooling of blood in the chambers, which there are 2 chambers in the actual shaft of the penis called the corpus cavernosum. And as the blood pools in these chambers, you have engorgement. So that, in a nutshell, is the physiology of a man getting an erection. So how do these medications, Viagra and Cialis, work? Basically, what it does is it allows for there to be the nitric oxide to stay around for longer periods of time so that you have a greater pooling of blood into your cavers, your 2-chamber cavernosum in your actual penis itself. But another concept that I mentioned at the onset of the topic of erectile dysfunction is a lot of men can get an erection. That's not a problem. Is they can maintain it. And that, as you get older, particularly when you're in your 40s and your 50s and your 60s, you have what is called venous leak. So you get the erection, but the blood cannot stay within the chambers themselves. So essentially, because of what we call veno-occlusive dysfunction, you basically have blood pooling into these chambers and is released and slowly, and you just lose your erection. You're not able to maintain them. So when you look at these chambers anatomically, down the center of the chambers, there's an artery. There's also something called the tunica albuginea, which is the thick casing around these 2 chambers. Underneath the tunica albuginea, there are numerous veins. There's a rich venous complex, and this is called the subtunical veins. So during the erections, as the blood comes in the muscles, it presses against the walls of the chambers. So as we age, we get atrophy of the muscle, and this leads to the fibrosis of the muscles of the penis. So essentially, we are still able to get the blood into the 2 chambers in the shaft of the penis, but because of the atrophy and because of the fibrosis of the muscles, it leads to the difficulty in keeping the blood within the 2 chambers, thus venous leak. And we cannot maintain enough pressure in the venous wall to allow us to keep that engorgement for as long as you want, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 30 minutes. So how do we overcome age-related penile venous leak. It's in a, and it's basically almost inevitable as we age. So it's just a simple, we can look at it in terms of physics. It's a simple matter of inflow and outflow interactions. For example, if the inflow, let's give it a number, is 10, and the outflow is 15 with the venous leak, then we're not going to be able to maintain an erection or get a decent erection or any erection whatsoever. But if you give a man a Viagra or a Cialis or a Levitra, and if you've been prescribed safely, that is, and you can increase the inflow to, let's say, 25 instead of 10, you can overcome because the 25 is much greater than the 15. And then you're able to not just get an erection, but you're able to maintain erection. So that's just basically physiology and anatomy of a man's erections 101. I spared you all the in-depth details, but basically that's a simplified version of it. So please do not let erections rob you of your happiness. Please do not let the fact that an erection may be causing you to have low self-esteem or ruin your relationships or make you feel less than. It may be a sign of something more sinister going on. It may be a sign of hypertension or diabetes or low testosterone, or it may bring you into an office with a physician who can determine that, yes, maybe you need to lose some weight. Maybe you need to stop that sedentary lifestyle. Maybe we need to change your diet. Maybe we need to address the fact you have obstructive sleep apnea, and every single night you're not getting sufficient REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, and the consequence of that is that you're feeling fatigued all the time, irritable, depressed, poor cognitive function, poor memory. You feel more tired waking up than when you first went to sleep. If you wake up with a headache, that's a problem. If you feel like you need to take a nap by 2 p.m., that's a problem. If your spouse is saying that you're snoring and you stop breathing, that may be a sign of a... If you do have obstructive sleep apnea, that can exponentially increase your risk of getting a coronary vascular event, such as a heart attack or stroke. So addressing the sleep apnea can actually save your life. Seeking help for erectile dysfunction can actually save your life. So let's speak part two next week in regards to men's health. There's a lot that we need to talk about. We're talking about the crisis that's going on internally in men and young boys and externally. Let's be more preventative. Let's talk about proactive medication, proactive measures to get you healthier. Let's live longer. Let's live better, Bahamas. Thank you for your time. I know it's very valuable, and I never take it for granted. And have a good evening and a good, prosperous week and a safe week, Bahamas. This is Urologist Speaks with Dr. Gregory Pinto. Good night. Down with your bed.